Hello friends, this session we are going to deal with chapter 4, which is titled as Modes of International Travel. Now when we are talking about tourism, travel comes as a part within it. So let us study what are the modes of international travel and how does the international scenario affects it. The key points that we are going to study in this particular chapter are the introduction of the international travel modes, importance of how different means of transports are there, operational details of various modes of transport. Now, when we are talking about travel in general, we are talking about its evolution right from the early days. So this is how a progressive modes of travel options were. Earlier, as we know, animals were used. Now, this early times, we are talking about when man used to travel for specific needs. This was either the survival or the trade or commerce or any other things. So at that time, the only options that he had was uses of animals or walking. So depending upon the location where that man was situated, it was either the horses or the elephants, camels, yaks and donkeys. Even today in many of the places, these animals are used as a transport option. Now animal driven wheeled vehicles such as cars and chariots were used later on. This was when the wheel was invented. So what used to happen was this, there were carts and carriages which were invented, and they were drawn either by the horses or the bullock carts or any other animals at that particular region. So this made sure that the option of travel was faster and a bit more convenient. Post this, what happened was there were various constructions of roads which were taken, either the paved roads or the roads which were made by big stones. Alright, some of the famous roads are the ones wherein they provided hinges for the wheels to be inside those. So what used to happen, this carts used to go along this particular roads where the hinges were already provided. So the wheels were in those hinges. So these were the early times when the animal driven carts were used. Even there were different types of carts and carriages, mostly the European carriages, if you can see in the early days, were the closed carriages which were there, and those were used by the higher upper strata of the society. Later when we moved ahead, we had the waterways which were developed. Even earlier the waterways were used wherein simple boats were used. Okay, so later on it started progressing into sailboats, canoes, elementary water vehicles. That is the basic water vehicles, and then later on as the technology was developed, there were jet engines which were used. So which gave rise to mechanized boats, steamships, large vessels and cruise boats. So earlier the water transport from one continent to another, that was the transcontinental journey, was basically because it was need. Alright, the people had to travel, that was the only option for a long distance travel. But today as we see, this particular cruises or water transport is used for the experience of water transport. There are the cruises which are used because of the experience of cruise. So this is how the progress of water transport has come up. Mechanically driven vehicles such as cars, trucks, railway engines, as we see today. Okay, earlier the cars were there, today we have variety of cars. We have the technology and science which has been developed in such a way that there are trucks and railways. We have the railways which are high speed railways. There are metros which are running. There are underground railway systems. So all of this, as it has happened slowly on a period of time because of the development that we have seen. Next is the airborne vehicles that we see, the modes of transport that we see. Earlier it was the balloons, then there were certain other things which came up like zeppelins. Later on aeroplanes, helicopters, and today what we have is the space rockets. Alright, so even in aeroplanes, the earlier aeroplanes and today's aeroplanes, if you compare, the technology has advanced to so much that it has made many differences in it. So it has been the aeroplane journey today has is more faster, it's more convenient and comfortable as compared to the earlier ones. The same journey takes place in half of the time. So balloons which were earlier used today are also used in many places as a pleasure trip. Helicopters are used as a pleasure ride, or they are also used as for VIPs rides. Then rockets, the very famous and the new one which is coming, the entry in tourism, the space tourism. Over there we can definitely find the space rockets. So other vehicles are hovercrafts. Okay, so all these options which we see are progressive. We have seen the evolution of transport options from early days to today, and we can see that there are many other options and modes which are coming, and as the technology is going to get developed, they are going to start getting more and more options. This is a pictorial view of different modes of transport that we have today. So we are talking about the air mode, we are talking about the rail mode, and we are talking about the road. Now, when we talk about tourism, the travel comes as an integral part of it, and how important it is. Suppose if I have a destination which I have to develop into a major tourist destination, what is ideal is how do I reach there? The tourists are first going to search how to reach that particular destination. So accessibility proves to be a major point when making a particular city a popular destination. So the invention of wheel, which we had earlier, all right, that was the biggest invention of man, if we can say to that. So from that day onwards to here, as we can see, travel has changed over the years, and today tourism has travel as an integral part of it. So let's see here the importance of different means. Bullock cars and pony are now replaced by buses, cars, scooters, cycles, etc. Modes of transport include air, rail, road, water, cable, and space. So when again we are talking about tourism, today we cannot reach a particular destination, for example going on a vacation on a long distance, we have to use combination of two different modes or three different modes. For example, if I'm going on a foreign trip, I have to from my city go to an international airport, catch an international flight, so that will be my flight journey, reach that particular city, and over there take a car rental or a bus rental. So what am I doing? I'm using the flight options and I'm using the road options, so that's a combination of flight and road. Again, further ahead there are cruises. Suppose if I want to go for a cruise near Alaska, all I have to do is go from Mumbai to say towards US port. So I'm taking a flight and later on going by road or by rail to the port from where I have to get in the cruise boat. So that's again the rail journey or the road journey, and then I have my my cruises. So that's water transport again. So tourism relies on different modes of transport, and what matters is its convenience. What matters is how well it is connected. So suppose if I have a particular city near my city and it is a destination point, it is very essential that I have good connections to it. It is very essential that there are more than one trains going to that particular destination. So it is the frequency that matters. Earlier, if we compare, Mumbai-Delhi flights used to be say only in the mornings. All right, but today we know that Mumbai-Delhi flights are very frequent. So that's how the travel option has become more convenient for the passengers or the tourist. So this is helping into developing the tourism ahead. Three important attributes of international travel are means of reaching a destination, convenience and comfort of travel. Now here is the point where convenience has been taken care of and comfort has been taken care of. So when we are talking about convenience and comfort, earlier the services that were used in the transport, suppose if I am catching a flight, it had definitely given the services, but if we compare those services to the present day services, there is a lot of difference. So today I have a TV screen directly in front of me, that is behind the seat which is in front of me. Further ahead, there are many options which are there, the services, the kind of seats, the kind of staff which is serving me is all changed drastically, making it more comfortable for me, making the journey more comfortable. So when we are dealing into a destination which has to be successful, we have to take care of the travel options being convenient and comfortable. A person who wants to visit a particular destination will first make sure that there are convenient travel options over there. Further ahead, suppose if we are planning a travel or a trip to a city, we always try to get a journey over there, a type of mode of transport over there which will be reaching that particular city at a given time. So the ideal time would be when the check-in to the hotel is. So suppose my check-in time of a hotel is 10 a.m. I would take take certain mode of transport which will make sure that I reach there at that particular time. So what happens here is the comfort and the convenience of that particular transport option works in benefit to that particular destination. pleasures of sightseeing and during the journey entertainment. Now today we know that there are many train journeys which are taken. There are these long haul journeys which have which are marketed as scenic beauties or scenic journeys, wherein the specially built trains have big glass windows. So what is happening is the passengers or the tourists are not only using this particular train journey as a mode of going from place A to place B, but it is a part of their trip. It is a part of their experience. So they are sitting in that train to experience the beautiful scenery outside. So if I am talking about Rocky Mountaineer, I am talking about the scenery that I am seeing through the Rocky Mountaineer train. So that is how it forms a part of the journey. So it is not only reaching or mode of the transport, but it is pleasure of sightseeing and during the journey entertainment. Similarly, we have such cruises which offer, there are city tours, that is river cruises which are offered. So you board the river cruise, it goes through the city showing the points. So that's again the sightseeing tour on a cruise. So many such new things have come up, and today it has made sure that travel is a part of tourist experience rather than just some secondary service which is a part of tourism industry. Now this is a diagram which is showing the importance of transport in tourism. The first and foremost is of course means of reaching a destination, that is how you are going to reach the destination. Convenience and comfort to travel. If I have an option of going through a bus and I'm not very good at traveling the bus, and there is an option of going to the same place via train, I might choose the train because it is my own convenience and my own comfort. Pleasures of sightseeing and during the journey entertainment. So this also is one of the things which matters when we are talking about how good the mode of transport is. Now let's check what are the most important modes of transport. We have the air transport, we have land transport, and we have water transport. Now inside that we have the options. When we talk about air transport, we are talking about aeroplanes, balloons, helicopters and rockets. The most common one would be the aeroplanes, then comes the balloons, which are very popular means when especially when we are talking about the pleasure trips. So there are many international package tours which are given a balloon ride in that package tour. So there are helicopters. Helicopters are marketed as a selling point or as a USB in certain trips to exotic islands. So it is pick up and drop from by a helicopter to an island. So that is one such thing that is marketed as balloon as helicopter rides. Further ahead, the way it has been, it is marketed is if at all there is a certain quite isolated place where there are no many commercial flights which are going, you have a helicopter option to reach there. So that's one. So all these options are included in tourism and are marketed not rather than a mode of transport, but a part of tourism experience. And then we have the rockets, which is the mode of transport for space tourism, which is the new thing that is coming. Then we have the land transport. Now land transport are the railways and the roadways. In roadways we have the bus, car, truck and other road vehicles. So when we talk about the car, we have our own cars or the rental cars. There are RVs which can be rented. Further ahead we have the bus options as a coach option. There are many intercity bus links which are there. So you can use that for city tours. You can use that from going from one city to another, provided how convenient the option is. And then we have the railways. The railways, most of them are chosen because they are fastest, they are more convenient, they have more better connections. And then there is another reason to choosing railways is because of the ambience that it provides. For example, I might like to see Rajasthan on Palace on Wheels, right? So because of that cultural ambience that it is giving me. So that will be a reason why I might choose that land transport. Next we have is water transport, which includes large and small boats, both sailing and engine driven. So here there are certain places which requires a ferry. For example, if I'm talking about an international country which is made of small islands, going from one island to another, there might be a ferry boat or there might be a motorboat option. All right, there can be many travel packages which are giving a two nights cruise package. So you're going from place A to place B The two nights are on the cruise. So you have a cruise package which includes the sightseeing at A and P, and both in between both is a cruise package which is given. So all this are some of the things which are there in tourist packages. Now we have the hot air balloons, all right. These are the hot air balloons. Ideally, first when they were introduced, they were used as a transport mode. Today they are used as more of a pleasure mode or pleasure transport mode. So this what you can see is a balloon which is used. The hot air is used to control the system. There is ideally a wicker basket which is below the balloon, and you are in the wicker basket. Right, some of the balloons rides which they give are the balloons which remain attached to the ground, and they are just above, and all you have to see is the view from that particular balloon. Some of the other balloons are the actual balloons which float, all right, which are going across, seeing the place and coming back. So these are the balloon rides. So depending upon how we are going to control the hot air and the cold air, so the balloon will rise up and then down. So that's one experience that one can get. Then these are the blimps, similar to balloons, but the difference is the kind of thing that you can see here. It is not a wicker basket, it is something else, and the shape of the balloon which is there. However, the operational system is same. These are the zeppelins, which are more larger, more stronger. What they have extra with respect to the balloon and the blimps is they have propellers below and a carriage kind of a thing beneath it. So that's zeppelins which are there. Earlier, these were introduced mostly were introduced during the time of World War I. These were used for bombardings or for sightings. All right, but today, as we see, they are used for pleasures, pleasure trips. Balloon rides are more popular than the other two. So these are the aeroplanes that we have. Now we know the technological advances is as far as the advances are concerned. There are many makes. There is Boeing, there is Concorde, which is traveling on a sound speed. So these are divided into different kinds of aircraft depending upon the configuration, the seating configuration. So inside the seating configuration can be three passengers, it can be either two passengers and then four passengers in between, and then two passengers. So the configurations, depending upon the configuration, this is what different types are. Then again, we have inside the planes various classes. So we have the first class, then we have the business class and economy class. So depending upon the class, there are the service differences which are given. The first class and business class being on a higher side, so the services are much better than compared to the economy class. And each and every airline has their own stamp on their service. So if we are talking about the best served airlines, there will be the it will be on the basis of the feedback which is coming from the passengers. So there are records which are kept, that is, which airline might be the one which is on time, giving an on time performance, which is the airline which is giving a good feedback. So all this matters when we are talking about an airline. Again, there are airlines which are well connected, which have the best kind of services, and further ahead the extra services which are given to the guest. That is how the guest is seeing or how the guest is feeling that he is served by that particular airline. So when we are talking about aeroplanes, there are other connections which are mattering. So suppose if I am talking about from going from A to B, whether it is a direct flight or it is going via some point. So here also the airlines and its combination with the other airlines, that is interline connections matter. So this is one. Now what we have helicopter, like said earlier, this is how a typical helicopter might view. If compared with aeroplanes, one thing which is there is the commercial flight operations with respect to helicopters is not very conducive or very profitable, simply because of the space which it provides is ideally from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6, 5 or 6 max would be the ones. All right, further ahead it is an equipment which is used to reach inaccessible places, or where which are places which are where the airplane might be not going. All right, scheduled planes or charter planes might be finding it difficult, especially where they do not have a runway, because that's what the aeroplanes require. And as far as helicopters are concerned, they require a helipad or a heliport. All right, so ideally, when we are talking about tourist packages, it is on things like exotic islands where an helicopter drop is there. It is on top of a mountain where you have to you can drop the tourist of that particular mountain. Then again, these are used for VIPs through the city, who can afford them and who would want to have such helicopter rides. Then there are certain other things which are marketed like pleasure rides. So there is on special occasions like certain things, like if you have someone's birthday, you can give them a pleasure ride in helicopters. So these are new trends which are coming up. So helicopters is used here. In India, we have helicopter rides near Vaishno Devi because of the kind of transport options that we have there. This would be a comfortable option for someone who do not want to take other modes. Now we have the space transport rockets for the space tourism, which is the upcoming trend in tourism. Now, when we are talking about airways, international airports form an integral part of it, since it is here where the airlines will be taking off and coming back. So there is something known as ITA, which governs all this. ITA stands for International Air Transport Association. It is an association of member airlines which form a part of it. So ITA has more than 105 members. All these airlines have to adhere to these rules, including the international airports. Now these rules and laws are something which ITA has come up to make sure smooth running of the entire civil aviation system here throughout the world. So there are certain agreements, certain bilateral agreements which are made. Then there are certain rules, there are certain freedoms of air, so freedoms of carrier, which are given by ITA. There are what ITA provides is a legal and technical framework to work under and make sure that there is a smooth non-nuisance free, there is non-nuisance without any non-nuisance, this particular operations go ahead. So there are many rules and airports have to adhere to this. Some modern airports which are there, which are known for their best performances are Dubai, Hong Kong, Munich, Singapore, New York and Doha. So these airports are equipped with everything that an airport should have and some more. All travel requires an elaborate infrastructure. So all travel modes which we are talking about require infrastructure to support it. So similarly, there are the airports. So these are certain things which a modern international airport should have. Well-maintained and long runways. Now, when we are talking about airports and the today's scenario, the global scenario that it is, a major airport should at least have more than one runways. All right, these are the runways which are used by airlines. So this is how the airline goes. You have to actually catch up speed for the airplane to actually go in the sky. So there is very important that these runways are there. This strip of runway is there. Then adequate signaling system when we are talking about the taking off of certain airplanes and then again departing of certain airplanes, there is signaling system which is provided. These are computer reservation systems. There are other softwares which are there. So continuously communication should be there. This should be smooth, okay, to avoid any accidents, to avoid any kind of hazards which might take place, because what we know today is if you actually stand in one of the towers and view the sky, you can see there are many aeroplanes passing by in 5 minutes of time. So at a particular airport which might be a major city airport, there are many aeroplanes and which are leaving by a matter of 5 minutes to 10 minutes. So what is happening is we need to have an adequate signaling system to avoid any kind of mishaps or delaying. We should have efficient, the airport should have efficient control towers. Now, what are these control towers? You might observe any of the this airports will have a control tower. This is the control tower which is on a tower that is high, and they are controlling the operations. They are continuously, the people who are inside the control tower are the people who are continuously forming a link between communication on the land and communication with the aircraft. So they are continuously talking with the pilots and the other people who are on the ground and managing the entire system, making sure that the airplanes are leaving at a particular time which they are destined to. So they are the ones who are controlling the entire traffic. So that's one, enough number of hangers. When we talk about hangers, we are talking about certain structures which are there for let's say parking the aeroplane when they are either for the maintenance work or for when they are not required or when they are not in operations. So these are enough number of hangers. This storage happens for a short term basis or a long term basis. So at a particular international airport, these hangers are required. Properly designed air arrival and departure sections. Now, we understand that the passengers, there will be an inflow and outflow of passengers. There will be arrivals and there will be departures. As we know how the procedures is, there might be some people who want to connect, who want to go through a connection flight. So here, the architecture of the entire air terminal plays a major role. So it has to be smooth running. So for example, someone is coming from point A to point B and he has a flight to catch. To point C, care should be taken that the connections are quick, all right, the baggage, how the baggage is going to go from one terminal to another and to that particular connecting flight. All this system requires efficient management. Further ahead, it requires an architectural design which is convenient not only for the passengers but for also the airport managers. So the design here is important. Sufficient check-in counters, boarding gates, immigration counters and custom points. Now when we are talking about a major city airport, we are talking about a large number of people who are coming and going and to and fro is huge. The traffic is huge. So what we need is sufficient check-in counters, boarding gates, immigration counters and we need sufficient staff to manage these counters too. So care has to be taken that all these operations are smooth running and taking into place the security reasons as well. So we should make sure that the enough security provisions are made. Sufficient baggage claim terminals. These are the sections where the baggage is claimed. All right, there are belts which are going and there are your suitcases which are going on through that. So we should have enough baggage claim terminals and ideally this baggage claim terminal should be nearer to from where the passengers are going to come to make sure that the entire operation of procedure of the airport terminals goes smoothly. Well-designed inter-terminal transport systems. Now, this we are talking about a major city airport wherein there are more than one terminals. So, if there is a domestic terminal, there is an international terminal, suppose. And a passenger wants to go from one terminal to the another terminal, catch a flight and in between time, which is known as MCT, that's minimum connecting time, all right, is about 1 hour or 2 hours. So, care has to be taken that there is a transportation from one terminal and two terminal. In bigger major international airports, there are connecting trams or connecting shuttle services from one terminal to another. There are shuttle services also provided from one airport to another airport in a particular city because there are many multi-airport cities. That is a city which has more than one airport. So well-designed inter-terminal transport system would be the shuttle service between two terminals. Proper fueling, luggage transport, loading, unloading, catering systems. So when we are talking about here, the scenario is that when a flight comes, it hardly has any time for the passengers to get in and the other passengers to get out. Further ahead, it is the refueling that has to be taken care of. It is the catering services. So there are the flight kitchens which are waiting to board in the hot food which is to be served for the passengers. Further ahead, it is the other things which are taking place, that is the water filling or taking away the waste. Alright, so all this is very well performed, that is, it is orchestrated in such a way that it is in minimum time and efficiently done. So at a particular international airport, in order to make sure that all these things run smoothly, the airport should have a proper management. Sufficient staff to handle all passengers, cargo and traffic. Yes, the ratio between the passengers and the staff should be correct. So if we are talking about a major airport, major city airport, the staff, you can see this staff will be all the people who are handling the baggage, all the housekeeping staff, the people at the check-in counters, the airport authorities, the immigration checks, the custom checks, all of this form a part of the entire airport system, and these are the ones which help the entire procedures, the entire airport procedure to run smoothly. So these These are something which are a part and parcel of a modern international airport.